This is an interview with Lucille Goldhagen by Mary Height for the Kentucky Oral History Commission, Prohibition in Nelson County, Its Cause and Effects. The interview was conducted in Bardstown, Nelson County, Kentucky at 114 North 5th Street on January 22, 1988. Okay. Ms. Goldhagen, will you give us a little information about yourself, where you were born, and your parents, and what you've done through your life?
I was born in Nelson County, about 2 miles west of Bardstown, on highway, in a house on Highway 62, on a farm. My father was John H. Goldhagen. His ancestry goes back to Amherst Denton Goldhagen, who was one of a pioneer in Elizabethtown, and Sam Gooden, who settled Gooden Fort, and his son-in-law, Atkinson Hill, an early judge in Nelson County. My mother was Mattie Crady, called Mattie. Her real name was Martha Malvina. Her ancestry goes back on one side to Warren Cash, an old Baptist preacher who had much to do with these early churches, and David Crady and Richard Edlin, who were at near Gooden's Fort. Most of my ancestry has been in Nelson County, Kentucky, since pioneers moved in. I became a teacher, taught in Jefferson County more than 50 years. I am now a retired teacher. I was in elementary education.
All right, that's a, now you are still you're presently living in Nelson County.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My parents bought a farm close to on Highway 605, just off Highway 62, opposite the Nelson County High School. After their death, my sister and I purchased this farm, small farm, from our two brothers. We live there. She is also a retired teacher. She taught in the Nelson County High School.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Lucille, am I right? Was that what they call early times Kentucky original?
Yes. This property is adjoining the distillery property that was early times distillery before Prohibition. And going farther out the road, there was the distillery that became Double Springs. That distillery became J.T.S. Brown. After Prohibition, the one further out, the Woodlawn Road, was the early times distillery, was the Greenbrier distillery, and it became Double Springs. Mm-hmm. It is now the site of the American greeting card factory.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Lucille, what about Prohibition? When you were living in Nelson County, when did you first hear that about Prohibition?
I judged about the time I was in the first grade, they began talking about Prohibition. World War I was looming, and some people began saying this was a way to win the war, that the grain was needed to feed starving Europe, therefore it should not be used for whiskey, for making of whiskey. And of course there had been agitation before that. Harry Nation had done her axe wielding, and other people were arguing. The Temperance League was probably active in Louisville, but I heard he talked there. But it seems to me that by the time the Bolshevik Act and the amendment were passed, the war was over. But it was supposed to be for human betterment.
That little pause, Miss Lucille, with our heating system noise in the background, kind of reminds us both of Carrie Nation. you mentioned that your father had been a storekeeper gauger.
A storekeeper gauger was hired and paid by the U.S. government to supervise the operation of the distillery to see that the whiskey, he tested the whiskey when it was finished to know that it was of the proper strength, proper proof, and he He stenciled the end of the barrel saying when it was put in. Now, at that, when I first became a conscious of prohibition, when it was necessary that distilleries be guarded 24 hours a day, he then went to having a service time signed 7 to 3, or 3 to 11, or 11 to 7. Three men had to guard the distillery. They carried a gun, and to keep people from stealing whiskey out of the warehouses. That was dangerous. Sometimes men were killed. That probably was about 1921, and I think it must have been about 1923 at the time all the whiskey was removed from the warehouses in Nelson County.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, all the people that I know of were storekeeper gaugers who took turns at being assigned either from 7 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, 3 to 11, or 11 to 7, so that the distilleries were guarded to keep people from stealing it. Either the locks would be cut, or many of the warehouses just had sheet iron walls, and it was easy to rip that wall, that metal off,
mm-hmm.
far enough to get into the distillery.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess, of course, I was conscious of it until it was repealed after Roosevelt became president in 1933.
Mm-hmm. But the storekeeper gaugers were the only people that were allowed to be around the distillery. There were not any employees from the...
There had to be employees to go into the warehouses, the 7 to 3 shift, to check for leaks and things of that kind, to see that the barrels stayed in good shape,
right.
And to repair barrels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now that's all I know of being there.
Mm-hmm. So were you ever around with your father when he was doing his duty?
I have been in the office of the Walker Distillery, but that's the only distillery I remember being.
Mm-hmm.
I was never in the distillery itself, it was just
mm-hmm.
the office, the company office was in one little warm room, and the government office
mm-hmm.
in the adjoining room. And
mm-hmm.
the Walker Distillery was out Highway 62 toward Boston at the top of Withrow Hill. The city dump was on the other. Go down in the valley, and on the other side was the city dump. One warehouse was down by Withrow Creek. The other was just about one of the others. I think there were two or three there. Was just about the place where the old state garage is,
mm-hmm.
between the state garage, and then I believe that there has been a whiskey dispensing wholesale place just to the west of the state garage. State garage has now been made into company to county offices.
Mm-hmm. Well, did the owners of the distilleries did they resent the government men, or were they glad to see them there so they could protect the whiskey?
Well, of course, some of the owners resented the supervision,
mm-hmm.
that they couldn't shortchange on filling bottles. They had bottles had to be filled in the bottling house. The bottling line filled as much whiskey as should go into a quart bottle went into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the storekeeper gauger was responsible for that stamp being put across the top over the stopper, cork stopper, in the bottle. And there it stayed until the whiskey was opened by the person who bought the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the tax on it was before Prohibition. And the last I knew of it, since Prohibition, it's something over $10 a gallon,
mm-hmm.
that the government gets for, and that's shown by this stamp that goes across the bottle if it's bottled in bond.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking, speaking of medicinal whiskey now, during Prohibition?
I suppose it was taxed that way.
Mm-hmm.
I never did see a bottle of medicinal whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
It was only dispensed by the doctor writing a prescription,
mm-hmm.
for a half pint of whiskey or a pint of whiskey. And it was bought at the drugstore. Now, I don't know whether Bardstown drugstores handled it or not. I know that Newman Drugstore in Louisville sold whiskey during Prohibition because I saw a woman receive a prescription from her father's cousin for her father to have a bottle of medicinal whiskey. But then she had to pay for the whiskey. He didn't charge her for the prescription.
So you really don't know who got that in the end, did you?
I did not see it. It was wrapped when she got it.
How did the people in the area feel about Prohibition, the leaders of the community in the area and town?
I really don't know, but because I was just a child at that time. I didn't get too much of a feeling about it. But I do know that I can't remember any other industry that hired people the way the distilleries did. And much of the work had to be done by hand. The bottling line hired a number of women. Now, none of the distilleries were big like Heaven Hill or Barton. They were all small distilleries, but there must have been 10 or 15 distilleries in Nelson County at that time. So it was the distilleries were the biggest employer. Mm-hmm. Old people worked in the drugstore, one or two, and several in Grigsby, and two or three in different dry goods stores like Spalding's and Nelson Dry Goods and Lewis Brothers and the Wilson Brothers, and in the grocery store because I know the grocery store would serve yourself, but and so I'm sure it was devastating to the county to lose that source of income and that source of taxes because the distilleries, of course, had to pay taxes, local taxes to the county, to the state, and then they paid the federal tax on the whiskey that went out. Of course, they recovered the taxes by adding it on to the cost of the whiskey. But it was a source of income for this county, and the county certainly was bleak, I would say, until Prohibition was repealed. In fact, one gentleman, some tourists in Bardstown on Main Street, said, "What is that odor in the air?" And one man said, "That's democratic prosperity," after the Prohibition was repealed. I think they were running off the whiskey in the Bartons. Now, one thing that was another source of income was that people might raise just a few cattle on their place, and then pin hookers or men who went around bought up those steers and put them into the cattle yards that were adjoining the distilleries. I don't remember anybody buying slop from a distillery before Prohibition. They wouldn't have had any, most of them wouldn't have had any way to haul it except to haul it with a horses and wagon. Not many farmers owned a truck.
That's right.
In fact, I can't remember any farmer that owned a truck. They raised slopped out cattle. And then I don't know how the cattle were shipped to Louisville and were moved to the stockyards because there were stockyards here at the depot to load cattle. They were loaded on the train and sent to Louisville. They may have been driven, or they may have, that would be probably the only way they could have been moved. But we lived on past Walker Distillery. The stockyards were down close to the creek, Withrow Creek, and it was up a hill, a little bit over the hill, to the property adjoining the airport. On the east side of the airport was my father's farm. He farmed along with being a storekeeper, Gages, having a large number of chickens and sold eggs. And when they took the cattle away from those cattle yards in the summer, when it got too warm, the whiskey would be made, and they took the clothes down the distillery, making whiskey, and sold the cattle. The flies nearly drove the cattle and horses, and the people too, crazy for a week or so, because they spread to the neighboring farms.
Right.
put on cattle or horses to protect them from the flies, and the only protection people had were screens.
It seems such a short time ago for all these things to have happened, and now the progress of that.
It is amazing, the things that have occurred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the term pin hooker, Ms. Gohagan. Could you define that a little again for us?
A pin hooker was a person, usually a man, I never heard of a woman doing it, who went around the country and would buy up cattle, maybe hogs, and ship them to Louisville to make a profit on them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was hard for a man who had just two or three animals to get it, get those shipped to the stockyards, and he would ship a number, and he depended on making a profit. That was the way he made a living.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Mr. Ed Abel was one that, in a way, people have used it in a derogatory manner, and yet he did do a service for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And George M. Abel was another one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that their descendants should object to their names being used, because they were the two that I remember from way back.
Mm-hmm.
I know of other men later, but I hesitate to put a first name to them because I'm not sure which. I know first and last names, but I'm not sure about first names.
Right. Were any of the distilleries in the area allowed to operate, or did they just use this aged whiskey that they already had on hand?
You mean during Prohibition?
Right.
There was not a distillery in Nelson County that operated from the time the law went into effect.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people, as many of the distilleries and the brand names were sold. For instance, we referred to Early Times. Early Times is produced in Kentucky, but it was not produced in Nelson County after Prohibition. I don't know anything about the old Walker brand. I don't know, there was Tom Moore, and there was Matty Men Moore. And I know that the people who had the distillery over at Fairfield said that brand, McKenna, I believe it was, wouldn't be produced anywhere else unless it was produced in Nelson County. I know they said that. Now, whether that carried through or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody had a distillery after Prohibition on Highway 62, just east of Bardstown, called Fairfield Distillery. And it was not, I don't think it had anything to do with the old McKenna distillery that was at Fairfield. Some of these are just opinions.
Right.
That
right.
I did not do any research on this.
I heard my father speak of that too long. I'll check into that some more. You know,
somebody else.
Connections. Have you heard the term bottle for Uncle Sam?
No, I've never heard that.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you?
I heard that they were allowed to bottle so much for the government and so much for medicinal purposes. Now,
when? During Prohibition?
During Prohibition. Possibly the term was confused of the term of the time shortly after Prohibition.
I was under the impression that all the whiskey in Nelson County was moved out still in barrels. I don't know.
Okay.
Now that was happening when I was a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and unless I saw it, I really wouldn't know. But I got that impression that it was all moved away from Nelson County before it was bottled.
Okay.
Mildred Brunson might know more about that than I would, because she's older than I am. She is Hugh Stiles' daughter,
right.
And he was involved in whiskey after Prohibition. During Prohibition, my father farmed, and then after Prohibition, he applied and was reinstated as a storekeeper gauger,
mm-hmm.
and worked most of the time here in Nelson County until he retired sometime in the early 1940s.
Well, he worked a long time, just as you did.
well, he had two terms at it. With a break in the middle.
A break in the middle, right.
ended up going back to your asking me how the people in Nelson County felt about prohibition. I can't think they felt very good about it. Now, of course, there were people who thought the drinking of whiskey and therefore the making of whiskey was morally wrong. And there were some of them who felt people were going to drink, and they better have legal whiskey to drink than some that was made illegally and under conditions that might be poisonous.
Mm-hmm. Did the feelings against whiskey, the drinking of whiskey, the consumption of whiskey, have more or less segments of religious affiliation, different religions?
Yes, I would say so. But some of the people who were in the churches who expressed feelings against whiskey were involved. And they had been involved in it before.
Mm.
Now, my family is not, we're not drinking people. We don't, usually had some around the house. Mother would mix honey or sugar and lemon juice and whiskey as a homemade remedy for a cough or a sore throat. And the whiskey, 100 proof whiskey, is not as strong as the rubbing alcohol you put on a cut, but it has that same medicinal effect, mm-hmm. I judge.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that everybody that I knew about had was what I thought was my father and other people said was first shots. I was grown, and after the repeal of prohibition, when my father was back, I said, "You never say a word about first shots. What became of that? What was it?" Well, it was the first whiskey that came off when they were distilling the whiskey. And it was a very high proof. It probably higher proof than rubbing alcohol. And that was given away. We usually had a bottle around the house. Mother put as much camphor in it, more camphor gum than would dissolve, and you used it the way we now use rubbing alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stronger than rubbing alcohol, with a combination of camphor and that first shot. The best I can learn, nobody ever drank it. It was just too strong.
Too strong.
And of course it was not put in the charred oak barrel, so it was clear color, clear as water. As a child, I didn't know why whiskey was brown, and that was clear as water. But it was used for medicinal purposes. And of course, there was a person who might use a hot toddy, but it was, we were not the drinking people, yet my father worked for the government part of the distillery. And that there were several men around town who did that, around Nelson County. But I can't, going back and thinking over this, I can't remember any trials in Nelson County prosecuting anyone for moonshining or bootlegging.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that I know of that I could remember was prosecuted in the federal court in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And Judge Dawson, one of the judges, is credited with remarking that practically that every farm in certain areas that had moonshine on, well, I don't know that, I know there were farms that didn't have
mm-hmm.
moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
One of ours was one.
Mm-hmm.
My father was not going to have anything to do with it. But on the other hand, if you knew what the other person was doing, you kept your mouth shut about it.
Right.
It was healthy.
Yeah.
And about that. So I feel that the authorities felt there better be prosecution better take place under federal law rather than under any state laws. That speaks for the feelings of the people in Nelson County. Now, maybe I'm judging that because after I was out of high school, I went to college 2 years, and then I taught in Jefferson County the whole time. So I was not around Bardstown to hear as much discussion as probably somebody that lived here.
Mm-hmm.
If someone else has a different story, well, then that person has a different point of view.
Well, did you have a general feeling that people were elated when Prohibition was over? I mean, finally they had would begin to think of better times ahead?
Yes, mm-hmm. Definitely. But remember, when Roosevelt ran against Hoover and banks were failing, people were, factories were closing in Louisville, and things were in a bad shape when that election occurred. In fact, my father drove to Louisville and met me at school for me to come to Bardstown and vote. And that was the first election. It was the first election that I'd been old enough to vote in. It was the first election that I voted in. And people were looking forward to the change, because the one thing Roosevelt was for was the legalization of the making of whiskey and beer and so forth. But as a sideline, when I went to teach at Crofton, I was in a German section of Jefferson County. People were of German extraction, a number of them. I found one home after another in which I was entertained. I was offered either home brew or wine. They made it their own, and they were proud of it. Within 3 or 4 years after the repeal of Prohibition, when it was legal, those people started buying their beer in, instead of making their own. They were buying their wine, and I was never offered a drink. Of course, they didn't have to be proud of it.
I wonder what your father's reaction was to that. His daughter, little country daughter, going to the city.
Well, it was the only place I could get a job.
That's right.
At the time, the population of Nelson County was going down. At the time I needed a job, there was no place for me to teach in Nelson County. I tried to get a job. Well, I did get one, but there was no place in the neighborhood for me to board, and the roads were bad enough. I certainly couldn't have driven, and wouldn't have made enough to buy a car anyway. So I got a job in Jefferson County. All those schools, the population of Jefferson County and Louisville was increasing. People were moving there to get work. And then within 3 years, 2 years, factories there were closing down because times were getting worse.
That's right.
And banks were failing. During that time, the Boston Bank closed in Nelson County. And People's Bank closed here in Bardstown.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, of course, the Depression. Was Nelson County more or less in a depression because of all these distilleries that had closed before 1929, even? You know, were they all in their own depression already?
Well, the whole country was going into depression before it was widespread.
Yeah,
it wasn't just Nelson County.
Right. Well, I meant because of the aspect of the distilleries, you know, employed a lot of people.
What it had to affect
the
county.
Mm-hmm.
More than many other counties.
Right.
Because many other counties were not depending on distilleries.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nelson County had more distilleries than any other county in the state.
Mm-hmm. As far as I know, that's what the county's always.
So it would be.
Mm-hmm.
It would have more effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It seems to me. I just wondered.
Now, as a child, you don't know things the way the adults would know, but I can't think of many people left that have been adult enough then
mm-hmm.
to realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people could lose their farm over having an illegal distillery, a moonshine on it. I don't know. I can't remember anyone who did.
So the officials, the law enforcement kind of overlooked those things?
It must have been.
Uh-huh.
Now people, I think some people lost their cars, maybe, that they were using to haul.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't name anybody who did.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't name anybody who lost the farm. I know some people who had loans, had bought farms, and had federal land bank loans on them that they lost their farm by the time the Depression was over.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they just turned their head to a lot of this, right?
They could have.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a kid, you don't know all these things mm-hmm. that are going on one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'm thinking of this raising the marijuana. I understand that the state officials in Kentucky would like to prosecute, would let the federal government do a lot of that prosecuting,
mm-hmm.
rather than try to handle it locally.
Right, rather than get involved. Mm-hmm.
And since your early education, I understand that you have gone on in these latter years and while you were teaching and furthered your education. Can you fill us in on that, please?
Is that ready to go? My experience is not too different from most of the other people who taught, who began teaching at the time I did, except that I did make the 8th grade in 7 years and high school in 3 years, which people are probably not allowed to do now. And then I had 2 years of college, and many other teachers began with just 1 year of college. In fact, some of them began about the same time I did. Began teaching by passing a teacher's examination without even finishing high school, and were licensed or certificated to teach for a certain number of years. But when I had 2 years of college, I received a standard certificate certifying that I was capable of teaching any subject in any grade, 1 through 12, in any public school in Kentucky. And incidentally, that same certificate was accepted in other states. I began teaching in Jefferson County, and while I taught every year until I retired in 1980, I did the work to finish for a bachelor's degree at Western in August of 35, and for a master's in the University of Kentucky in 54. Since I taught in Jefferson County, I took a number of courses at the University of Louisville for information that I wanted to acquire. Since 1980, I've been retired. That is practically the same experience that everybody I taught with had. Teaching and going to school, teaching and going to school.
Well, getting back to this time during Prohibition, you didn't mention a whole lot about the moonshiners. Was that a pretty large activity at the time?
Yes, it was. When people were running short of money, and here they had a nice holler and a good spring, it was a sore temptation to set up a little still. Also, these men had worked at the so many men had worked at the distillery, they knew how it should be done. And so these small stills were set up and run, and then it was a lot of them were run into Louisville and sold there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was aged, I think. Some of it was made in unsatisfactory and unsanitary, I'm sure, conditions. And sometimes I've heard stories about the neighbor's hogs or the owner's hogs getting in and eating the mash, and so you had some drunken hogs for a few hours.
Yeah.
Now, I cannot authenticate those stories,
mm-hmm.
but I heard them, and they're very logical considering that people were still using rail fences, and the wire fences were not in very good condition. A hog can put his nose under a fence and go through it if he wants to, and that I'm sure that slop had a very savory odor. So I would say it was very commonplace from discussions and innuendo that I heard as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't hear much about it after I was away, because of not having a car, I spent a great deal of time in Jefferson County. And then when I came home, well, I was usually home for a weekend and then ride the bus back.
were these moonshiners, were they pretty much accepted amongst the people? Did they kind of overlook it? And well, that's just part of it.
You wouldn't have had any neighbors, in all probability, if you didn't overlook it. In certain areas, at least. These people were hard up. I heard someone the other day say some member of the family had to be in the hospital, and here were bills to pay. And no, there was no Social Security, no family insurance. In fact, I had talked several years before I even heard of such a thing as health insurance. And when I did have some health insurance and needed to use it, I discovered that right quick, as soon as it made a few payments, they found a loophole not to make any more payments. Because I hadn't been to a doctor within a certain limit of days. It was a day over when I went to see the doctor.
Well, Mrs. Gilhagen, you've given us a lot of good ideas here, and I want to see what your idea of the causes. Why did you think this came about? Why do you think prohibition came in this area?
Well, I think I told you that it was nationwide. It wasn't local.
Sure.
And you notice Nelson County has never voted dry since that. And I'll go back a little further now. Some of the priests were quoted as saying that making whiskey was not a sin, or selling whiskey was not a sin. And basically, I can see where these were right. The Bible does not say not to make whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Whiskey wasn't known, but the wine was made in Bible times, and I don't see any place it was condemned, except that maybe drinking it in excess, just the same as drinking in excess in any other way. But where the moonshiners were protecting themselves by shooting, and the officers who were attempting to break up the moonshine were using guns, the priests in Nelson County are credited with having a meeting between the people and the officers, and saying to them, if he can run and get away, don't shoot. If you can run him down, catch him. For the people who were making whiskey, if you can run and get away, run. If you get caught, take it.
Yeah.
But don't shoot. I remember a man who lived in the house just below the old graded school. The old graded school is torn down, but it was on the same site as the Bardstown school facilities now. There's a hill to the, I guess, the northwest. And you went down that little hill, and on the other side there was a little house, a man lived in it. As I remember him, his name was Smith, and he was a heavyset man. He was somewhere around an illegal distillery, a moonshine. Officers came, he ran, and he was killed, is the story that I was told as a child. I didn't know the man, but I had seen him. And of course, he had a family. That stuck in my mind. Later on, Frank Mather was a federal officer. He was somewhere they approached a shine. One of the shiners killed him. My parents had known him and his wife. I also knew his children. So it was after that the priests in Nelson County are credited with getting people to say that they would not do any shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for that reason, I think that was a great thing that was done.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's very, very good. No violence, in other words,
don't,
no violence.
The sin was the violence.
Right.
And that, I think, is basically I can go wholeheartedly with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I cannot. Now, I think the abuse of alcohol, basically, I think anybody that abuses food,
mm-hmm.
to the extent that I read about some of these very obese people, to me that is a sin,
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
the same as the abuse of alcohol.
Right, the excesses of any
excesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's my own personal feeling.
Right. Well, that's more or less what I was going to ask you. Your feeling about prohibition.
It was a failure, is my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that here it caused some people attempted to make whiskey using these galvanized tubs. Now, when you put, you don't put that mash in galvanized tubs and have it ferment because it forms a poison. It is a zinc. No, it's not zinc. I guess it would be lead poisoning that it is. But it was the whiskey made that way was poisonous.
Right.
And men, I guess women too, died from drinking that. But I don't think there was much of that kind of whiskey made in Nelson County because the people who were making it knew better.
Mm-hmm.
I did not hear of any of it. Of course, it could have been sold someplace else and we wouldn't have heard of it. It could have happened here, then I wouldn't have heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's one story told, which to me is amusing. I'm not real sure of the name of the people, but it was common talk back that this family did operate a shine, and two officers unwisely pulled their car into the lot and parked the car and head down the hill. The daughter of the household ran out in the yard to ring the dinner bell. It wasn't dinner time. One of the officers grabbed her, hurried over and grabbed her to keep her from ringing the bell, and she clawed him, scratched him enough that somebody asked him, if a wildcat, he didn't call a wildcat.
he was wise to that trick, wasn't he?
She was. She wasn't as wise as first as he was last.
Right.
Now that, of course, now that was, there was no real violence there. The man was not injured, and the woman was not injured. But she was not about to let him stop her from ringing that bell.
Mm-hmm. Just to warn the father
time,
and so forth.
With her father and her brothers that were involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's wise to name names because I might have forgotten in the years.
Mm-hmm.
And with the same family names and your wrong given name,
mm-hmm.
somebody else can be maligned.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, I didn't do it. I don't think that the woman, I think it was, has any descendants, but her brothers do have.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned all these physical disabilities that may have come about when you got hold of bad moonshine. What about the moral aspects of prohibition? How do you feel that people were elated when it was over?
I think they were,
mm-hmm.
but it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you go back and read some of these books, Zane Grey has written one about the flappers and so on. And I'm not sure how he, of course he was writing from the western part of the United States. He is indicating the fact that a lot of social drinking went on because it was the thing to do, more or less. The person had a flask. That's where you get that hip flask that somebody carried in his hip, molded to hold in his hip pocket. And that many people learned social drinking. Of course, and I know that there was drinking went on amongst the
high school people when I was in high school. I did not see it, mm-hmm. but I heard the talk.
Mm-hmm.
I was not involved in it, but I heard talk. Now, I know that kids now make things bigger than what they actually did.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that with children when I taught, they come in and tell something, and when I heard another version of it, or I saw something, it was the way they saw it and the way I saw it was entirely different. And some of these kids may have exaggerated drinking that did not really occur, or made it bigger than it did.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that some of that is still going on amongst the high school kids now,
mm-hmm.
and some others.
That was my feeling, you know, that the excesses started during Prohibition. Consumption of alcohol was widespread, you know.
Well,
and
know.
Crime started then, and all the ills that went along with the excesses of
now,
alcohol.
There were people that drank. As I said, I was born and lived there beside Boston, Bardstown Road, until I was 10, 11 years old, something like that. And I remember seeing two men on horseback coming out of Bardstown. Now, they weren't racing their horses, but they were fighting each other, each one on his horse, and they were drinking. There was no question about that. And I either imagined it or I saw the flash of a knife, because I do know that at one time one of those men cut the other one. Now, whether it occurred that same day or whether in my mind the two incidents are entwined, because it happened a long time ago. They were neighbors. They'd been to Bardstown. But that was really why whiskey was still legal.
Mm-hmm.
That they could, but there was a saloon somewhere there in town. But don't ask, on 3rd Street, but I don't know where it was. Practically all the business places were on 3rd Street between the courthouse and Broadway at that time. Grigsby's, of course, was on Flagey, and Connor and Hayden on Flagey. But most of the businesses were on 3rd Street, and the what is now the stables was a livery stable, where you could pay a fee and leave your horse and buggy, and like parking your car in a parking lot. You paid more of a fee if you wanted your horse fed in the at noon time, and you had a better chance, if the crowd in town, of getting him to take care of your horse if you did want him to feed your horse. However, my mother got the horse taken care of during the school fair. I guess it was 1915. I was not old enough to go to school, but a rural school teacher was boarding in our house, and mother used the horse and buggy to take her into the school fair, because the man that operated, Herman Cotton, was a friend of the family. He would take care of the horse. That day in town seemed to me was awfully crowded. But it is when you're that little. Of course, there's an awful lot of big people.
That's right. Everything makes a big impression on you, doesn't it?
And I didn't get in town too often to see a crowd of people.
Well, Miss Lucille, this has been very enlightening. And we certainly appreciate you coming here today and sharing your memories of Prohibition. Is there anything else you would like to add in closing?
Well, I think this is, you've asked how widespread it was. We lived on a farm, which my brother still owned, from about maybe 1922 or 1935. And during the time of Prohibition, I have known the time that I could, by walking around the house, see about 3 or 4 little wisps of blue smoke going toward the sky, and I don't think there was a house there. It was not on our land, what some of them might be across the river. But now, does that tell you a little bit about it being widespread?
Right.
And you knew to stay away from that little whiff of smoke.
And I didn't tell it that I'd seen that little wisp of smoke, because somebody else might tell an officer.
That's right.
And we lived in the community, and we got along with the people in the community.
Right. So more or less keep quiet, huh?
Well, those people had to make a living.
That's right.
There was no welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a choice of stealing or making a living that way.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them. Now, some of them really improved their economic status. There are people who owned good farms, who made the money to buy those farms by making whiskey,
mm-hmm,
and running it into Louisville. The ones I know are all dead,
mm-hmm,
but their children and grandchildren are living.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends wrote a book, and some of the descendants of the man, now she admired the person that she wrote it about, and they say his descendants say she made up a lot of it, but they said, we're law-abiding citizens, we're trying to raise our children right, and we just assumed it wasn't publicized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's a part of our heritage.
Mm-hmm. In other words, it hasn't been published, but it's been written. Well, maybe in time. Oh, you do. Maybe in time we can all share it.
Well, there's one in Blackburn.
Oh, right, right.
So.
Well, thank you again, Ms. Goyega.